Thank you, Senator Harper, Chairman Harper. I appreciate your having a hearing on Senate concurrent resolution number 2. This is a resolution memorializing the late former United States Senator Maureen Brown Neuberger. As you know, Maureen Neuberger was at one time a member of the Oregon legislature. She was in the House of Representatives for 3 terms in the 1950s. Her husband was in the state Senate. Both the Neubergers, Dick Neuberger and Maureen Neuberger, went to the United States Senate. Both were elected to one term, and Maureen Neuberger served that term from 19—let's see, what was it? She served that one term and did not run again. She was an outstanding person. She was the third woman ever elected to the United States Senate, the first woman from Oregon to be in the United States Senate, and she was a very outstanding Oregonian and somebody that we should memorialize. And so this Senate concurrent resolution does that. She died a couple years ago, actually in the year 2000, and I think we might be able to have a Senate session about a year after her death if we plan it correctly and have this memorial before them if the committee is so inclined to approve the memorial. Mr. Chairman, I submit it to you, and I hope that you will move it along. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Senator Trill. So you're looking for the 22nd of February.
Will this, if we do it today, pass it out today, or do we need to wait a little bit? We need to wait a couple of days.
Right. It's not crucial that you do it that way, Senator, but if you want to, that would be nice.
Mr. Chair, you can also carry it over on the floor, too, if that.
Okay. Well, we'll pass it out today, then. Senator,
okay.
And we can work with you.
Okay, and I think then we can work with the desk as to when it's up. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Senator.
Special order of business on a certain day by motion.
Yeah.
No, we can.
The floor can.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We can
fix it there. Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Dick Springer. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I appear individually and on my own behalf. My name is Dick Springer. On behalf of Senate Concurrent Resolution 2, honoring former Senator and former State Representative Maureen Neuberger. I think Senator Miller and Senator Courtney may recall that I was honored to serve as an appointed U.S. Senate page in 1964 for a period of 6 months while a sophomore in high school appointed by Senator Maureen Neuberger. My mother, Vera Springer, worked for Richard N. for Maureen Neuberger during the period of time they served in the United States Senate from 1954 through 1966. Maureen was truly a great statesperson and a wonderful person to be associated with for many decades. She was vigorous throughout her life, took a lifelong interest in public policy here in the state of Oregon. And I think perhaps, again, Senator Courtney and Senator Miller may recall that during the time I served in the legislature, she was able to visit Salem and to appear with me on the House floor and was afforded occasionally an opportunity to speak to the body. And I know it meant a great deal to her, as I know this resolution would as well. And I thank you for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Okay, with that, we will close the public hearing on SCR 2 and open the work session. Senator Courtney.
I move SCR 2 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Courtney moves SCR 2 for the due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Trow?
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you very much. We will open the public hearing on HCR 2. Senate Bill 446, a real estate bill. We know we're not going to do that today. Next Thursday, 22 February. Okay? Thank you. HCR 2.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Mark Landauer. I'm with the City of Portland's Office of Government Relations. Mayor Katz has asked me to express her regret that she was unable to attend today's committee hearing, and she further requests that I pass on her deep appreciation for your quick response and taking up this resolution. We in Portland are very excited about the 150th anniversary of the incorporation of the City of Portland, and when we were doing our research into the history of the incorporation, we became very aware that the Legislative Assembly took a very active role in granting the original charter for the city. That occurred, I believe, on January 15th, 1850. We're a little bit late in getting over here to the Senate, but fortunately the House was. But looking a little bit further into the research, it occurred to me that on February 8th, the then Governor John P. Gaines signed the Act of Incorporation, so we're only 5 days late, perhaps. In any event, thank you for your consideration. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mark. Questions?
On line 9, John P. Gaines, is he a Republican or Democrat?
Excellent question. Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, I'll have to confess I don't know the answer to that.
Who's Republican? Who was the job offered to before it was offered to John P. Gaines? This is easy. His birthday was yesterday, I believe.
Mr. Chair, Senator Atkinson, again, I'll have to plead ignorance and the fifth.
It was Abraham Lincoln. His wife didn't want to move out to become a territorial governor. And Abraham Lincoln didn't believe that the job necessarily had that much promise. And that's mentioned across the street in a plaque on the Capitol Mall. And that's it. I have no more history.
Well, with that, we'll close the public hearing and open the work session.
Mr. Chair?
On HCR 2, Senator Brown.
Mr. Chair, I would move HCR 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brown moves HCR 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion, objection, hearing none. Ordered. Senator Brown, would you like to carry? I just know it.
Thank you very much.
Are you and Minister and fight it out? But
I'm very well prepared for Senator Atkinson's question.
Now, we will open a public hearing on House Bill 2043.
No, but they were interesting.
That was fascinating. Well, we know it's Republican.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2043 comes to you from the Legislative Council Committee. This is, in essence, our housekeeping bill. During the interim, the Legislative Council Committee goes through and evaluates our procedures, sees where they mesh with statute and where they don't, and where they don't. We then, in this bill, present you with the choices that we hope you'll accept, so that the practices that have developed over the years are legal.
Well, silly us.
You've got a section-by-section analysis of the engrossed version of the bill, which I'd be pleased to walk through for you or be pleased to let you read and pepper me with questions, whatever your preference is.
Game over.
Let us read and pepper you with questions, if that's okay with the committee. Committee? Pepper him with questions. Hearing none. Guys, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll close the public hearing, House Bill 2043, as amended, and open the work session.
Mr. Chair, did we amend this? Have we amended it by motion? You said as amended, but I don't
know. I'm sorry, just the 2043A. You know.
All right.
No. Pardon me.
Well, wait a minute. Okay. All right, so we're fine. It's all right. So there aren't any amendments for us to consider. Is that correct? All right, I move House Bill 2043A engrossed That's correct, I believe. To the floor, Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cordy moves House Bill 2043 and agrees to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair.
I'm for it.
You're for it. Senator Brown.
I have a question.
Okay.
My understanding is the original bill included a proposal regarding requiring legislative council to work with folks who are drafting an initiative measure that if 50 more electors were requesting, they could cooperate in preparation of the measure. I'm just curious why that was removed.
Mr. Jamal.
Mr. Chair, Senator Brown, the provision was originally included to be repealed because in the half century since it's been on the books, no one's ever used it. We thought we could perhaps shorten the Oregon Revised Statutes by at least that paragraph. As it turns out, there were members of the House Committee on Judiciary that believed that despite the statutes not having any utility for the past half century, it might for the coming half century, and therefore decided it should remain.
Don't look at me.
No comment.
You just try one step forward, two steps back. Any other questions? Any objections? Okay, let's see. Are we on the right order here?
Yes.
So I can just gavel and have no objection. So ordered.
Sure, I move.
Oh, you're going. Let's see. Right. Who, anybody like to carry this? Senator Atkinson?
I'd love it.
That's
okay. Just
sign me up.
Would you provide it? Maybe we could
get, all right, let's open the work session on House Bill 2046.
I'm carrying this.
We need to break back. Yeah, okay, Mr. Timo.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Was that what I did? Well, silly, silly me.
This bill comes about because during the last interim, Senator Bryant, Representative Williams, and Representative Shetterly were on a ballot measure explanatory statement committee, and they got sued because some folks didn't like the statement they wrote. But there wasn't anything in the statute that said that the people who were suing had to tell the people who were being sued. So they didn't find out about it. And the time for appearing in the Supreme Court passed. And we then had to ask the Supreme Court in its good graces to please let the members appear and explain why they wrote what they did. And the court was kind enough to do that and uphold what the members did. The changes that House Bill 2046A make are most important where they provide that if you're going to sue somebody to challenge their explanatory statement, you have to tell them about it so they can appear and defend themselves.
Okay. Any questions of Mr. Chainhall? Anybody else in the audience like to comment on 2046?
Sounds like a reasonable.
All right, let's see. So I inadvertently opened a work session, so entertain a motion here.
Bill 246 to the floor with two zero four six to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cordy moves House Bill 2046A and Gross to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any other discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. It was like this one.
You're rolling right along, aren't you?
Okay, Senator Miller. Yes, Senator Miller. He left right in there. All right. We'll open the public hearing on House Bill 2060. Another big government bill here.
Big government bill?
Big government bill.
No one's here to testify in favor.
See, John and Katie? Senator Courtney. You like, and Senator Courtney.
And Courtney, too?
Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Chair Harper, and members of the Senate Rules Committee. I'm Peter Courtney, State Senator District 17, which is the Salem-Kaiser area. And I'm here today to support House Bill 2060. Last session, a budget note came out of Ways and Means that asked legislative leadership to assign an interim committee to develop long-range plans for the state fair to address not only funding but capital construction, maintenance, and operations. And all has been accomplished in detail in several written reports submitted to the e-board and is on file. I did not bring those reports with me today, but we extensively studied the present situation of the state fair as well as evaluated where it was and where it should go, both in terms of master plans as well as visions and things of that nature. That task force consisted of individuals who came from the Salem City Council. There was a Marion County Commissioner. There was a director of the Chamber of Commerce this area. I was administered by Janet Atkins, Representative Jackie Winters, co-chaired it along with Senator Peter Courtney. And there were, like, Senator Vern Duncan, Representative Gary Hansen were also on, as well as Representative Vic Backlund on the task force. An aspect of the state fair that perhaps appealed to me more than any other is the traditional and ongoing connection to county fairs. It became very clear to us that there was this significant issue of the relationship of the state fair to the county fairs. An example of that connection is 4-H and FFA kids that compete at county fairs with their animals or sewing projects or gardening or artwork. The finalists from the county level go on to compete at the state fair. Having a vital and thriving state fair is important to these kids and to each of your county fairs. Likewise, having strong county fair programs adds excitement during the year that builds towards the state fair in August. Our task force wanted to strengthen that existing connection by adding county fair representations to the State Fair Commission. That's what this bill basically does. The county fair, the State Fair Board consists of 5 members presently. We are asking that you add 2 additional members, and that those 2 additional members will come from the county fairs. We think the benefits would run both ways, to the state fair and back to county fairs. We think this step will take full advantage of the expertise developed at the county level and running county fair and expo facilities. I have to be very frank with you. There are different county fairs today that are being very, very well run, and they do have a high degree of expertise. Tight funding has led to some competition, I'll be frank with you, between the state and county fairs for state dollars, but we want to stress the necessity for fairs to support each other to their mutual benefit. So we, in effect, filed this bill pre-session so that we have an opportunity to at least start this, to recognize the expertise of county fairs, the fact that the county fair and state fair are one and the same. Another reason we did it is, I know there's been criticism in this building, Mr. Chair and members of this committee, that the state fair in Salem is basically just oriented too much to Salem. By reaching out this way, we hope to send a signal, good faith signal, that isn't just viewed as a Salem fair, but a true state fair. And one of the ways to do this is to make sure on the governing board are representatives of the various county fairs. So you've got expertise, you got the fact that so many kids and all their activities are related to their final competitions here. You've got the fact we're trying to outreach to the state and the expertise and knowledge of these respective fairs. So for that reason, as well as the county fairs themselves supported this, we have a bill here that would suggest that you add 2 members to the state fair board. They'd be county fair. For what it's worth, and I'm not saying we should ever do what the House does, even though I spent years over there, it came out of House rules unanimously, and the vote in the House floor was 58 yes votes, and there were two excused. So that's what the bill does. That's a little bit of the history, and my, as well as my involvement in bringing this bill, House Bill 2060, to you.
Thank you, Senator Fortin. Ladies first.
Thank you. Chair Harper, members of the committee, my name is Katie Cannon. I'm the director of the Oregon State Fair. And I have to say that the fair, and unfortunately, Chair Murray Fretz could not be here today, and he does send his apologies, but the fair and the fair commission are supportive of this bill for a couple of reasons. One, our representation right now on our board comes from the five congressional districts, and we feel that by adding these two additional members, you are going to broaden representation geographically across the state. In addition to that, our members now are appointed based on their representation of industries or interests. This county fair representation puts another element in there. We're very fortunate this time to have a board that has a good working knowledge of fairs. But we may or may not in the future have that. And so by putting two additional county fair representatives on here, I think then you broaden that, or it gives more depth to that particular commission. And it helps with that understanding between the state fair and the county fairs. And I think will help us make better policy decisions when we have that broader understanding.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm John McCulley representing the Oregon Fairs Association. We, too, support House Bill 2060. We think it makes good sense both for the improved operation of the state fair, and we do think there will be some collateral benefits to county fairs as well by the sharing of this expertise. So our membership is prepared to help serve in this capacity and work to continue the strong linkage between county fairs and the Oregon State Fair.
Thank you, John. Questions for the panel? If we do this, Senator Courtney, do you think the governor will fund county fairs?
Well, I don't think the governor's going to have any choice, Mr. Chair. Because there is such a thing as Len and Ben's budget. And I think Len and Ben's budget will reflect a desire to take care of county fairs, if you get my drift.
I'll
explain it for the record, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, with that, we can close
county
the
fair public hearing. The Southern Oregon has 4,000 fairs down there in Southern Oregon. So I think Len and Ben will make sure. A good Senator Atkinson may want to comment on that, unless he doesn't care about his fairs, but I think he loves them. The question is, they'll take care of it, Len and Ben.
With that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2060 and open work session.
Mr. Chair. Since Senator Courtney is way back there, I would be happy to move House Bill 2060 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Brown moves House Bill 2060 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any other discussion?
I would encourage the chair to have Senator Courtney be the carrier, since he's invested so much time and energy into this issue.
I think that's only fair. Any objections? Hearing none, so Senator Courtney, would you be so kind as to carry your bill?
Thank
you very much.
I'm looking at somebody who loves their county fair to co-chair it with me, so I don't want to start pushing, but I'd be looking.
I defer.
That would be fine.
I would, too. Okay.
All right.
You want to take away your issue.
I know. I did marry a Applegate.
We already passed.
That's why she's gone. We have a request for a committee bill.
He isn't.
At the request of Senator Nelson for Terry Edvaldson.
Is Senator Nelson using a priority bill since the deadline was tomorrow? It was yesterday at 5 o'clock.
What?
Mr. Chair?
It's a committee bill.
I don't think you have to. It's committee.
Authorize Economic and Community Development Department to issue revenue bonds to finance eligible telecommunications infrastructure projects
authorizes the department to develop standards and procedures for selecting and financing those projects. Is this yours? Is this yours?
No, Mr. Chair. You don't have to do that. No, you don't have to do that.
Okay. We don't have to do that.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Is that Nelson's or mine?
This is Nelson's.
Then do it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, any problems?
You got one, too?
Okay.
Senator on deck.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we introduce LC-2567 as a committee bill for
Senator Brown,
Dave Nelson, for Terry Eccleston.
Senator Brown moves LC-2657 as a committee bill. Any discussion, objection, hearing none? So ordered.
I just decided, you know,
I don't know why I have to sit.
I sort of want to sit here the rest of the session. I just think I like to sit here.
That'd be fine with us. And with that, we are adjourned.
I have my authority.
What's this applicant thing?